Hello, I'm Sam, and this is Pilgrim Pit Stop. It's a podcast about following Jesus through life's highs and lows. And there's a new episode every other Friday, so I would really love it if you hit subscribe and tell your friends about it as well, if you enjoy what you hear. Here's a little clip of what's coming up today.
Everyone I've come across of faith is genuine, and I like to listen to them, but I find it hard to believe in the stories in the Bible.
Yeah.
Where did you find your faith in that?
All right, let's go. It's Saturday the 11th of July. It's about just gone 9:15 in the morning, and I'm about to head off to a place called Oundle, which I think is just outside Peterborough. It's telling me on Google Maps that it will take me about an hour 45 minutes on the Vespa, so we'll see if that's true. But yeah, I'm meeting up with some friends in Oundle. Four of my just best friends in the world, people that I've known since year six, so coming up to 15 years now, Dom, James, French, and Dan, and we're just going to have a chat when we get there and record an episode of this podcast. So this is going to be a bit of a different episode of Pilgrim Pit Stop. It's just going to be an opportunity to have a chat with some of my friends about faith and God and life and all of those great things. So I'm going to edit in a smash cut, so the next time you hear my voice, I will be in Oundle with four of just my best friends in the whole wide world. Do you want to start by just introducing yourselves and where you stand on God and religion, if you do at all? Dom.
Am I first?
Yeah, go for it, mate.
Hello, Samuel.
Hello, Dom.
Hello, listeners.
You might want to hold it a little bit further away from
you. All right, okay. Yeah, all right, is that good? Is that good? Perfect. See, we're approaching people now, so already I look like the silly one. As I was saying, I'm Dom. I wouldn't say I'm particularly religious, but I attend church on occasion. My stance on God is I believe there's sort of an above power, if you like, but I'm very much aware that it's what you believe, because at the same time I'm quite a man of science, so
yeah.
Awesome. But we'll see where we go.
See where we go.
French, over to you.
I'm French.
What's your full name? Because people might not have heard that name before. It's a beautiful name.
I don't know what you mean.
I didn't know that your name was French for the first 4 months that I knew you. I thought your name was France.
My full name is Francesco, but it's been shortened down to French over the years. So if you hear French, that's me. I've just slipped in the rural outdoors, the wonderful countryside.
Gold dust, honestly.
Edit this to what you wanted to be. My stance on, I think I'm, yeah, in similar to Dom in some ways, in that I was brought up going to church. I used to go to church every week. And then, as I went into sixth form and university, I didn't continue that, so it was kind of, I was taken to church by my parents but never really went independently. And I almost, like Dom, I feel there's probably something out there beyond, you know, what in this earth or something. I almost think there is something beyond, but I just don't know. I haven't pinned down what that means, and haven't settled into some sort of standardized thing of like that is a church or something like that. So I don't, I'm still working it out.
That's cool,
I think.
Man. That's really cool.
I will pass on now to James.
I'm so happy.
Hello, Samuel. Hello, guys. My name's James. So I'm a bit different from the other two, I suppose, in that I wasn't raised very Christian, or neither my parents are religious particularly. I've not been too involved with God, but as 11, 10 years old, I did ask my parents to take me to church a couple of times because I was interested. Sort of, I went to the, I don't know what the Girton Church is called, the one near our school.
Parish.
So I went there, and the old vicar, he was really nice and he was really welcoming, which is my experience of Christianity and religion, is that most people are very welcoming and happy to have you in just to sit and listen. But I've never really had any... I went there to see what it was like and nothing really jumped out at me particularly. So my stance as such is sort of... I haven't seen... Nothing's really shown... I've not really seen anything.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I don't know how to word it.
Yeah,
but
no, that makes sense.
Nothing's... I've not had the pull or anything to believe, I suppose.
Right. Hi, Samuel. This is Dan. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I guess I've always stood out in the group as the one who would identify himself as a non-believer, as an atheist. But it's not to say I don't want to be wrong. I very much hope that there's something that comes afterwards, and it's something I always keep my mind open to. Just, I wasn't brought up in a Christian household, although there was always religion around me. But yeah, mind is open. But I've always been of the opinion that I would not be a man of faith.
Yeah.
Right, I'll pass back over.
And your mum is
to the host.
My mum
is Muslim, and I spent my early years in Bangladesh, which is a very much a Muslim country.
Yeah.
I guess I was quite lucky not to be too heavily exposed one way or another. And so I didn't make up my mind until quite late, to be honest. And I wasn't forced to have big conversations about it as a child.
Yeah.
There's lots to think about.
Awesome. Right, we are just walking through a field full of cows. They're pretty peaceful. I think we're all good. So I thought it would be a good idea if you guys just ask questions and then maybe we can have a little discussion. So just literally feel free to ask absolutely anything. I won't be offended in any way.
I think I'll start off a bit light-hearted, if that's all right.
Sure.
Is the Last Supper painting? Why are they all on one side of the table, and why are they not facing each other?
That is a very good question, to which I have no answer, as you well know. Hiya. Go on, Dom. You've got
all right. I've got questions brewing. If you look back through points of earlier history, I think it was much more of a, maybe an interest in spreading religion. So you'd see it through things like art. You'd see it through stories and faith. Do you think that? That's because of how where society's just gone.
Yeah.
Because there's now, there's more that people have got in their lives now. Do you think that religion's almost taken a bit more of a back seat?
Yeah, I think it's a very good question. Clearly, we're a more secular society now than we've ever been in human history. But you said, you know, that we've got more stuff in our lives. I wonder whether actually people have got more stuff in their lives, because I still feel like there's a kind of searching for meaning, and people are still searching for meaning today. And maybe, we keep on hearing stats, don't we, about people who are more unhappy, you know, now in the West than we've ever been, or more anxious. And I still feel like there's that kind of searching for meaning, and it maybe isn't being found. In
in what people are trying to put that meaning into, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But I certainly think that, yeah, in terms of religion being visible in society, I think it is absolutely, you know, we're moving into a more secular time. It's just whether that's a good thing or not. You know, the church and the Christian faith is something that's been created around Jesus, but can also be distorted and can also be turned into something that actually doesn't reflect the glory of God and doesn't reflect the love of Jesus. And I think you do see that often when the church becomes very powerful. You see it kind of being distorted, and you see it being turned into a means of oppression. And that is exactly what Jesus came to the earth to preach against. You know, he got very angry with synagogue leaders who were exploiting the poor and had turned the Jewish faith into something that it shouldn't have been. And actually the church, when it's under threat in a sense, when it's persecuted, you see like places like Iran and China where the church is persecuted, and actually that's where you see the most growth in Christians, you know, giving their lives to God.
A couple of questions, Prime Minister, if I may. Right. First one is along the lines of, what do you think makes a good Christian or faith follower in general? Because I've always had the opinion of, you know, to an extent, actions speak louder than words.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of people out there who claim to be religious, whether that's, you know, through Christianity or other means, but actually can live quite, I don't know, destructive, I don't know, like destructive lifestyles, or they can do quite immoral or unfaithful things.
Yeah.
I think the thing that is distinctive about the Christian faith is that when you truly engage with it, it's this understanding that we are all sinners. We've all kind of fallen short of the glory of God, and that actually we can never get back to his glory on our own terms. The only way that we can be restored into that relationship with God is through Jesus, who I believe as a Christian was the Son of God, lived a perfect life, and died for my personal sins. I think when that gets into your bloodstream, that kind of gets into your understanding, that does change the way you view the world, because you realize, oh, I'm actually no better than anyone else, and we're all fellow sinners, and we're all welcomed actually into that kind of into that embrace of God. And that then, you know, Jesus says, whatever you've done for the least of these, you've done for me. So there's that thinking that actually in serving the poor, in going out and being with those who are brokenhearted or are really suffering, you are actually doing that for Jesus. So yeah, the problem comes, I think, when Christians or anyone from a faith starts to think that they can get to God on their own terms, through their own achievements. It's nothing about that. And then the minute it becomes about that, it stops being about Jesus and it stops really being Christianity. So
are you saying that you can sort of not identify as a Christian, potentially, but if you live... So would you say that if you don't identify as a Christian, you could live to... As long as you live by, I don't know, good moral standards, so you're kind to everyone, you're generous, and you're never self-interested, but if you don't identify as Christian, you could still be living as a Christian without almost knowing it? Or do you have to believe... Would you say you have to believe in God? Is it wrong? Because like I said before, if I... I've searched for God as a child, but I couldn't really find the belief.
Yeah.
But if I lived to a good standard, if I was generous to people, or if I was kind to people and treated people how I wanted to be treated, is that... I don't know if the right word's good enough in God's eyes, or how do we know?
I would say you can definitely lead a good life that way, but it wouldn't be a Christian. No. The Christian life is saying that I submit to God's authority and I submit to his will, and it's actually that belief that Jesus came to earth and actually lived and died and was resurrected. And I actually do believe that. And yeah.
How do you find that belief?
How did I find that? Yeah.
Because that's what I struggled with, is finding...
Yeah, yeah.
Believing what was told to me. Everyone I've come across of faith is a very nice, or that I'm lucky enough to come across, is very nice and genuine, and I like to listen to them, but I find it hard to believe in the stories in the Bible.
Yeah.
Where did you find your faith in that?
Well, I think I've only been following Jesus really in my heart for the last 3.5, maybe 4 years. So it's more of a recent thing. I've kind of been obviously grown up in a Christian household, very blessed to grow up in that household and to hear the stories in the Bible. But there does come a point in anyone's life where you have to decide, actually, is this something I believe in, or are they just stories? And I definitely walked away from the stories, and I walked away from church when I was at university, and I didn't go to church and was kind of trying to find meaning, I guess, in other ways, other places, especially politics at that time. Like, I got really involved in like left-wing politics and really thought, like, I genuinely believe, like, you know, Jeremy Corbyn, he's the saviour of Britain, and like really kind of genuinely, I probably became quite sort of extreme in my views, and probably a little bit unpleasant as well, because I was really thinking that anyone else who didn't think that was wrong. And then actually I came to Derby and found this church community that I currently am part of, and just listened to the story of the gospel, the Easter message, effectively, with new ears. And I also at that time came across lots of people at my church who are from different ethnic backgrounds, from Iran and from Kurdistan and Eritrea, you know, all these different places where the church is really persecuted. And I was like, why, you know, these guys have literally fled everything, left their family, left their country, because they believe in Jesus. There's got to be, like, there's something going on here. This isn't just a religion. This is actually a relationship that people are risking everything on. And I was like, whoa, okay, this, I need to properly investigate this. And then, yeah, it was like kind of a process, I guess, in some senses, of looking at the historical evidence for Jesus and for the resurrection and the different accounts. And then also that kind of more intangible thing of like believing it in my heart and finding so much peace when I actually came to that belief.
Potentially then to actually discover God, even if you've grown up with them, to actually believe in them wholeheartedly and genuinely, would you say you have to almost explore, meet other people, hear other stories, be open to the possibility of it and almost actually search out for it?
Yeah.
If you truly want to believe, then you almost have to search out, because only by speaking to those people outside of like the university or the normal, I suppose, the normal human life of what the West is used to,
yeah,
which is very like, I suppose, you go down a path of school, university, job, and that, but by doing something a bit different and speaking to people who've come through extreme circumstances, did that direct you back towards God in that way?
Yeah,
I would say so. And just by going back to the Bible as well, and you know, I believe that is the word of God, so I think that's the best place we can go, almost, as humanity, is back to that book and just kind of engage with different parts of it.
That makes sense why I couldn't find it, I suppose, because or haven't found it still, is because I'm still in the same city I grew up in. I've been on holidays places, but I've never purposefully... I suppose I've never purposely searched for it more than just going to the local church, which again might not be enough to truly believe.
Yeah, I think God can encounter you wherever you're at, and I think you do hear kind of miraculous stories of people seeing Jesus in a dream and just waking up and knowing that it's the truth. But the majority of stories are probably less dramatic than that, to be honest. It's more of a process and more of a journey, and that's why I think that image of the pilgrimage, or you know, the image of walking with God, is really powerful, because it's a lifelong process of discovery. For me there's that moment where I chose to give my life to Christ, which was like the moment, you know, you can call it I was born again, or I was, you know, really believed that was the truth. But then actually there's this ongoing process of trying to live out a life that's more reflective of him, and I'm a long way from that, believe me, but it's, I guess, about that initial kind of big step of faith, and then a kind of an ongoing process of learning and discipleship. And but again, it's not about becoming a good person. I mean, the point of Christianity is that we can never get to God's standard by being good, because we're broken by sin, and that's entered into all of our life, all of our relationships, all of our governments, everything. You know, that is part of it. So actually, it needed a perfect sacrifice in Jesus to kind of restore that gap between humanity and God. The sense that I get from the Bible is that you know, God has given us that book. God has given us the life of Jesus, and Jesus does say that, you know, the way to the Father is through me. And so my sense is that actually, yeah, if we have the opportunity to hear about the gospel message, which we do in Britain, that actually that is a choice that we're making, either to engage with it or not to engage with it. And
so it's purely down to the individual if they believe or not with all the information that's presented.
I think so.
Samuel.
Yeah. Come on, I want a hard question.
You've known us for 15 years.
Yeah.
Can you please, if you had to pick a biblical figure for each one of us, who would you pick and why?
Okay. I think French, he's a bit of a Noah right now with that beard.
Noah's Ark, are you kidding? That's so good. I'm jealous.
Dan, I'm trying to think of someone in like the medical. I think Luke, he wrote one of the gospel accounts, and had a very kind of analytical mind, and in his gospel was really trying to kind of get all the facts straight about you know, Jesus and the different eyewitness accounts of him, and he almost put it together as like a bit of a historical, almost scientific kind of document to preserve that. James. I think you could be Abraham.
Who's that?
He's like the original. He's like the daddy in the back of it all. Like he's
daddy.
Yeah. He's way back. He's one of the very first kind of big patriarchs in the story of Israel.
Oh right.
But I think you have that kind of, you're a little bit like a sort of a family guy. Like, you know, you hold that in high regard, I think.
Right.
So that's where, yeah, I think I'd put you there. And then Dom. Let me think. This is a good question. I think you could be... I'm trying to remember his name. The guy with the hair. The guy that cuts his hair. Come on, French.
Samson.
Help me. Samson! Yeah, Dom, you could be Samson. Very, very kind of...
I cut my own hair.
No. Samson is a very sort of athletic, sort of very, like, you know, physically strong guy. And the thing with him is like he's told not to cut his hair. If he cuts his hair, he'll lose his strength. And
cut my hair every.
You have cut your hair, but no. So that, yeah.
I'm not losing no strength.
Where do you see yourself?
Yeah.
Do you see yourself?
I said the five of us, not the four.
The five of us. Where do I see myself? I guess my namesake. You know, Samuel, the prophet Samuel.
That's a cheat.
All right.
No, is that genuinely...
No, let's think. I really relate at the moment to these two disciples on the road to Emmaus. So one of them is called Cleopas, and we don't know the name of the other one. Possibly his wife, possibly not his wife. It could be. And they actually meet the risen Jesus on the road to Emmaus in Luke's account of the gospel.
There's a charity shop near Ely called Emmaus.
Yeah, it's named after...
Is it?
Yes, it's a Christian charity based on that, and... yeah, Emmaus is kind of do lots of work with homeless people.
Do you think that our lives are laid out in front of us?
Oh, here we go.
That's something that we can't control, but there's already a path set out, or do you think that the decisions that we make are ultimately what dictate how our lives are going to go? And do you think that's just something that's? Do you think that's something that's I don't know, based on religion or...
Uh-huh. Yeah, great question, Dom. Well, if we sort of look in Genesis, you know, this kind of creation myth right at the start of the Bible, that for me is an explanation of, or a revelation that God does give us free will. You know, he doesn't, we're not robots, we're not automatons that are kind of pre-programmed into God's ultimate plan for us. We actually do have free will to choose. Like I was saying with James, we have a choice whether we want to follow him or not. You know, I think, and he gives us that. He actually does give us that choice, which is an amazing thing and a kind of revelation of God's character, that he doesn't force us into anything. Like, we ultimately make that decision. But then I think maybe there's an element of, it could be both. It could be possibly that we have that free will, but also that God directs us and is obviously in control of everything ultimately. So yeah, maybe both. I know that's a bit of a frustrating answer. The Christian faith is sort of full of paradoxes in that sense, which can make it quite frustrating at first. The idea that Jesus is 100% man but also 100% God just makes no sense to us. Like, that's completely outside. 200%. That's 200%. That makes no logical sense. But then lots of stuff in life doesn't make any logical sense, and I think it's not necessarily a reason to discount it. Clearly, Jesus has affected the lives of, you know, billions of people, and no one would have thought that at the time. You know, someone getting killed on a cross, that would have outlasted the Roman Empire, which seemed like the big power at the time. But actually, it's Christianity that has prevailed. So there's something going on, but yeah, there are all sorts of, I guess, paradoxes. Yeah.
Next one.
Come on then.
I'm all over these today. Right. So, do you think, to an extent, religion is a way of explaining things that we don't understand?
I'd come back on you on that question, and I would say that there are many things in life that are ways of explaining things that we don't understand. You know, science is a way of explaining things. Science is a way of trying to rationalize and explain and measure things that are completely outside of our control. We only know a fraction of the, you know, what's going on in the universe at any one time. So I don't think religion is that different in that sense. There are lots of Christian scientists, incidentally. There's loads of, you know, the whole history of Christian scientists. I don't think the two are separate. I think there are lots of things like that in our society that are ways of explaining complicated phenomena. You know, politics is a way of trying to kind of explain what's going on. So I think there are loads of different things. I think religion is certainly a way of engaging with the kind of the spiritual or the things outside of our own understanding. And yeah, just out of the different world religions that I've encountered, Christianity is the one that holds the most water for me. I think it's the most plausible.
I was just wondering whether you have, on kind of, do you have any long-term goals, so to speak, things that you want to achieve? So I suppose coming up soon is
what's the agenda?
You know, you've got this St. Columbus walk coming up in August, but I don't know whether you have any, you know, actually over the course of my life I'd like to achieve X, Y, and Z in relation to Christianity, or whether there's certain things that you think about on a longer term, or whether you actually just live day to day.
There's definitely, in the last 4 years, I think my heart's been stirred in terms of travel overseas and meeting people from different nations. So that's definitely something I feel like God has kind of put that into my life for a reason. I don't know necessarily whether I have a big kind of big plan. But I guess, yeah, I don't know really. I think I'm trusting God to reveal it step by step. He rarely gives the full picture, because we wouldn't be ready for it. If he gave us the whole map in one go, I think we would be overwhelmed. But he's playing hard to get. Yeah. Yeah. I hope. I hope to be. Yeah. I probably miss the mark quite a lot and get a huge amount of stuff wrong, but certainly that's my intention. Yeah.
So has there been like a, I don't know, like a moment where you've seen the direct, because I've listened to a couple of these, and some people have mentioned there being like these pinnacle moments where they've seen God, and I wondered if you had one of those.
I don't think I've necessarily had like one key pinnacle moment. I haven't audibly heard his voice or anything. My dad says he has one time in his life heard him audibly speak to him, which is fascinating. I haven't had a kind of a revelation in that sense, but I think it has been a general understanding over the last few years that I'd got a lot of stuff wrong about Christianity. I'd misjudged it and hadn't really actually understood this thing about grace and like what that actually meant.
So you're saying that coming to Christianity almost a second time, you feel like you've learnt now what grace is,
and yeah,
you feel like you misunderstood it before.
So I think for a long time I felt, like a lot of people feel, I think, that Christianity is about being a good person and is about performing acts of goodness to make the world a better place. And what I understood, I think, or I'm currently understanding more, and I'm still a long way from really understanding it, but I think I'm understanding more, is that actually we can't, it's not about that. It's not about us trying to do enough good acts, put enough good into the world that will be liked by God. The whole point is that God extends his love to us, even though, in spite of the fact that we are broken and hurt each other and damage relationships and do all these things that hurt you know, his creation and other people. But actually, he, through grace, and I think that's something that's quite unique to Christianity as well, this idea of grace and the fact that we can't build up to God's high standards through our actions. It's through grace and through the gift of Jesus that we are kind of restored back into that relationship, knowing that actually he will open his arms. Like that story of the prodigal son, I guess, that's a really key picture in the Bible of what God is like.
So sometimes it's almost like an idea of moving away from this almost guilt-driven life where you say, I don't want to do that because I'll feel bad or that type of thing.
Yeah, 100%.
And towards, so I don't know,
Top three hymns.
Say that again.
Top three hymns.
Right, I want Dan to answer that question. Dan.
You're allowed remixes as well.
All right.
So my top three hymns.
Maybe we should all.
I've got a lot to choose from.
Yeah.
And in general, when it comes to singing hymns, I mime.
Yeah.
I mime because I don't know the hymns. And I feel a little bit bitter because I felt like we were made to sing them in primary school.
Uh-huh.
But they sound nice.
Yeah.
Do you have a particular like favourite, or did you just hate them all?
I didn't hate any of them. I can't say I know the names to perhaps any of them.
The Oil in the Lamp, whatever that one's called. Banger.
What's it called? Oil in My Lamp, Keep Me Burning.
Put some oil in
the lamp.
From the tiny ant. Is that it? From the tiny ant. I'll say that.
To the elephant.
Yeah.
How are we defining him?
Is that just a school song? I mean, I don't know if these are
just Christian kind of songs.
Sing Hosanna? That was religious.
Sing Hosanna, yeah.
What do you look for in a religious leader or another religious person? What do you think constitutes to a religious person?
Humility.
Good. Correct.
Is that the right answer?
That is the right answer. Next stage, next question.
You say that you celebrate the idea of cultures impacting on Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that different faith in general are essentially all derived from the same thing?
Oh, now we're into like really
deep.
This is like really, really deep stuff, and I like it. Well, I think different religions are fundamentally different. I think we're really encouraged in today's society to sort of say that all faith is sort of the same, and it's like whatever you personally believe, and it's all basically the same thing as long as it's good and you're a good person. And I think that's completely just undermines the whole premise of like a Muslim saying this is what I believe or a Christian saying this is what I believe. If you're saying that they're all basically the same,
that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, do you think essentially they've all come from the same idea?
Same idea.
And then, exactly, and they've different divisions.
Yeah,
but ultimately could have spawned from.
Yeah, quite possibly. I mean, Christianity grew out of Judaism, so that's a very clear follow-on.
Yeah.
Islam comes along a bit later and sort of tries to sort of correct things that it sees as Christianity getting wrong. fundamentally they all believe, those three faiths all believe in one monotheistic God, so they are quite closely linked. They're very different to something, say, like Buddhism or Hinduism, which is a completely different kind of worldview.
I'd like to know your strongest views, what you'd consider possibly to be your most controversial opinions.
What I would personally consider to be my most controversial opinions.
Yeah, I'd like some real debate.
You'd like some real debate? Okay. Well, there's plenty of things. I think
That's aggressive.
saying that you believe something is the ultimate truth is a very controversial thing to say. I mean, Jesus has always been a controversial figure. You know, he came... I mean, the claims he's making are absolutely ludicrous. They're ridiculous. Either he's a complete madman, or he's the ultimate truth. He's claiming to be God, which has always been like an incredibly controversial thing. And obviously he was put to death for it because it was such an outrageous thing to be saying. And I think, you know, as Christians, we possibly have lost some of that kind of controversy, that kind of speaking truth to power, that Jesus was doing all the time. And yeah, maybe it's become diluted, certainly in this country. Yeah. I think has become a bit diluted.
So on that note, do you feel that if you really want to follow Jesus and you really want to follow his word and his speakings, do you not think you owe it to him and the way he lived his life to not settle for this being anything other than the ultimate truth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I do believe it's the ultimate truth, and then it's about what you do with that. Do you try and then enforce that on other people, or do you invite discussion and try and share it?
I do feel like I've made some real steps in the duration of this recording, though.
Yeah.
Real steps forward.
I'm ready for a pint.
Please like, share, and subscribe,
and we'll let Thomas take it away.
Right, it's 5:30 p.m. now, and I'm just about to hop on the Vespa and head back to Derby. Just said goodbye to the guys, and I just want to say a really big thank you to them for entering into the spirit of that and getting involved. It was so great to catch up with them today, and also to record this episode. So I hope you've enjoyed listening as well. And I just want to say thank you to Johnny Davies for creating the theme music, and to my brother Thomas Thorogood for making the jingles. As always, would love for you to hit subscribe and leave a review or leave a rating if you're able to. That really kind of helps people find this podcast. So appreciate you, and I look forward to speaking to you in 2 weeks' time for the next episode. All right, God bless. Goodbye. Thank you.